Welcome to the New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, the New Mind Creator. Today, I'll be interviewing Alara Sage. Please make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you receive alerts when new episodes are available on Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, please leave me a review on iTunes or Spotify.
It was quite wonderful because I lived, you know, in a forested area, and our property backed up some BLM land. So, you know, our property had 18 acres of forest, and then there was just all of this forest behind us. And I spent most of my childhood in the forest. I didn't realize how valuable that was until later on in my life, where I noticed that most people didn't grow up with that kind of environment. Gaia, nature, has always been so imperative to who I am as a person, to my development, and to my ability to really feel connected to the moment and true to myself.
And in what ways were you able to look back on and see how it shaped you?
Well, I've traveled all over the world, and I lived abroad for many years. So seeing the different ways that people lived, and again, noticing that a lot of people didn't have accessibility to nature. You know, I was actually just posting today about this, where I've had this uncanny ability to find homes that are just in these exquisite locations surrounded by nature. I've moved time and time again. And it's been just this innate ability for me to stay connected to Mother Nature. And for me, Mother Nature is very, very healing and grounding. Whenever I am experiencing any level of stress or discomfort, I just go out into her, and she just really lets me sink down into my body and let go.
So why is it important to reclaim playfulness? Why is that important? Because I remember as a child, putting against adulthood, it seems like it's easy to put away the playfulness because of the different responsibilities in adulthood, but it shouldn't necessarily be that way.
Absolutely. We have all these things that we want to prioritize ahead of time. And the importance of reclaiming our playfulness is the true power of it. You know, we often think that playfulness is an extra, a luxury, something that, okay, if I have time, I'll engage in, or if the circumstances are right, or maybe if you have an animal or a young child. But we oftentimes don't create the space, create time for playfulness. The truth is that playfulness is very powerful in activating our creative genius. So playfulness does a couple of things. For one, it pulls us into the present moment. We hear often, be here now, be in the present moment, the power of the moment. So playfulness, when we're in that flow zone, in that zone of play, we're in the moment, we're in our body. So we're available to our own creative potential. The second thing it does is it activates our hearts. It activates us in the energy of joy. We feel joyful. We feel open. Our hearts open, and we're more available to ourselves and to others. The third thing that playfulness does is it activates our imagination. It has been scientifically proven that your brain doesn't know the difference between what is imagined and what is real. And when we activate our imagination, we activate our ability to manifest our desires.
So would you say playfulness is an ingredient for healing?
Absolutely, yes.
So you mentioned being in the present moment. Why is it important? Why do you think it's important to be in the present moment, a practice being in the present moment?
There is all of our intelligence exists in the moment. So our bodies are extremely wise, and our bodies are always signaling to us what we truly need. Not just what your physical body needs, but what your emotional body needs, what your mental body needs. All of everything that you're seeking is in the moment. And those signals are being given to you of how to take action upon that which you seek, how to realize that which you seek. But because we are often in the past or in the future, we are not available to those signals that are constantly being shown to us. We're missing those very important signals.
And have you had any experience in healing something within yourself, whether it be an internal healing or physical?
Oh, yes. I've had tremendous experience. I was actually extremely ill for a period of time. And, at one point in my life, I found myself with chronic fatigue, with hypothyroidism, with all of these signs and symptoms that honestly could even be diagnosed by a doctor. I was diagnosed with chronic Lyme's disease, which is supposedly untreatable. And I was able to heal myself from all of that.
And how did you go about doing so? What are some of the things you did?
One of the things I did was I stopped the storyline. Mm. Our thoughts are very, very impactful.
Yes.
And I was experiencing a lot of symptoms. And when I had one of the doctors diagnose me through blood tests with chronic Lyme's, I really took that story on. And I started to research chronic Lyme's, and I started to go down this rabbit hole of identification. And one day it just hit me. My higher self said to me, "You don't have to believe this anymore." And I just realized that that was truth. I didn't have to believe that because it's chronic and because it's said to not be able to be healed from, that that was going to be my personal experience. So I stopped talking about it. And, I didn't deny the symptoms that I was experiencing. I addressed each symptom individually in the moment once again. So in the moment, what is my body asking for? What am I needing right here, right now? And taking little steps every day in that presence and in that intelligence of our body. Our bodies are naturally self-healing. They always are working towards homeostasis. So by the willingness to listen, I was able to take the appropriate steps. It took me some time, and I healed myself of all of it.
Yeah, that's powerful. And it seems like it's important to be indifferent to whatever circumstances you may, unwanted circumstances you may find yourself in, not fighting with it. But I have this saying that a man can't turn from something until he turns to something. The magnetism that takes us from one place to the other is being in the present moment of that desire. So not saying that, fighting with this disease, fighting with this circumstance, but get busy and focus and preoccupied with your desire. It seems like that's an important ingredient.
Absolutely. I love what you say of the desire, because, you know, is the desire to continue to feed the disease, or is the desire to get better? And if the desire is to get better, then that is where all of your focus, you know, is really powerfully to be, because where we focus is where our energy flows. Where we focus is what we are truly connected to. So if we're focused on the version of ourselves that is healthy, then we begin to connect more and more vibrationally to that version of ourself, that timeline. And ultimately we give ourselves the opportunity to become that.
When you were a kid, did you see were you operating in a way that you are operating now? Can you see the gifts that were flowing through you at that time as a kid that you're able to utilize now?
Absolutely. When I was a child, I saw a lot of beings around me and communicated to them. I had many, many beings. You know, they were called imaginary friends. And they weren't human. And I always thought it was very intriguing that they were called imaginary friends by the people around me, because to me, they weren't imaginary. They were very real. And I also had several knowingness of things that I could do. I knew that I could move things with my mind, and I knew that I could move things from dream state into reality. Now, neither of those actually worked when I would go to do them, but there was a sense of knowing that that was possible. I believe that in this life, there will be a more actualization of those gifts for myself. I feel like I have developed even beyond the gifts I had as a child. And there's just a lot more there that I feel is coming our way as humans and our potential as humans.
And you being aware of, you know, having these imaginary, well, beings that you were interacting with, did that affect your ability to connect with kids your age and develop friendships? Because it seems like you were operating on a different frequency than, just the average kid.
Yeah, Maurice, that's a good question. Absolutely, it did. I had a really hard time in school. I didn't understand human social structures very well. And I felt very... out of the group most of the time. I had very close friends. However, I felt very different. And I felt as though I couldn't really connect to humans. It honestly took me my entire life until about 5 years ago is when I felt like I really started to be able to really connect to humans and the human experience.
What was the defining, was there a defining moment 5 years ago, or it was just an accumulation of things that kind of led to that breakthrough?
Yeah, through my spiritual evolution, I found myself really enjoying being in other dimensions and, you know, being out of my body. And then my higher self started to guide me back into my body and to start to practice embodiment. And through that practice of embodiment and the love of my body, the love of my womanhood and the power of my womanhood, I started to really understand the beauty, the deliciousness, the pleasure of being human. And that opened my awareness to other humans and opened my heart and my compassion to the human experience.
So say, for instance, someone right now who is listening to us, they are in a space on their journey that's not very palatable. It's not desirable to stay in that place. They could be depressed. They could have come out of a marriage or a relationship, or a loved one is hurting and they can't do anything about it. and their life seems unfulfilled, or they might be sailing on broken pieces. What can they begin to do to reinvent their life? What should they begin doing?
First and foremost is the awareness of what is. Similar to what we spoke about earlier, it is the awareness of what we don't want, what we don't desire. That is very powerful and often mislooked, overlooked. To really acknowledge, to say out loud, to decree, declare, I do not want this. And to breathe into the body when you do that, to really take on that awareness, not from a state of rejection, but actually from a state of acceptance. And then from that point, really identifying what is it that you do want. It's easiest to start with one thing, one part of your life, one thing, whatever the most imperative, the most impactful, perhaps the most pressured point is right now. Then write down and become clear about what you do want. And then to the best of your ability, start to imagine yourself there as often as you can. What would it look like? What would it feel like to embody, to physically experience that version of yourself? And as we initially connected to, if you bring in playfulness, you allow yourself just moments, minutes of playfulness every day, along with that imagination exercise, you will start to align with that frequency for yourself.
So it's important to keep revisiting that moment, because our bodies is a filter as well. It records memories, right? So it sounds like it's important to keep revisiting, because sometimes people would say, oh, I did that once, or I tried that. It's important to continue doing something and develop a habit that could bring forth the change that we desire.
Absolutely. If you think about a radio station and you're transmitting one radio station, and then you flip it to another radio station for 30 seconds, so you flip it back. You know, what is the message that's being received? The initial radio station, or the one that was flipped over for 30 seconds? You know, the message that's being received is the one that's being transmitted the most. So the more you can transmit, meaning the more you can be in that imaginative state throughout your day, the more you're going to transmit that energy out into your physical reality. You don't have to do it all day, every day, but you can continue to pop into that moment, breathe into that space, and then carry on. The more you do that, the faster it is going to evolve for you.
Do you know of any exercises people could practice to help them sustain being in the present moment?
Absolutely. So I teach what's called the four keys to embodiment. And these keys are very important to really activating our genius, activating the fulfillment and the life that we desire. And the first one is connection or presence. And the easiest way to connect to presence is three things. You connect to a sense of touch. So that could be like right now, your hands folded in on themselves and just feeling the touch of your hand against your other hand. Now you focus your gaze at one point, focusing your eyes at one point, resting your eyes there, and tuning your awareness to your breath. And you just hold that for a moment. with your awareness on those three things: touch, eyes, breath. And what happens is you're giving your brain three things to focus on. Kind of like the shopping list that we've always joked about, that you can give a man a shopping list of three things. It's very similar with our brains. If we give our mind three things to focus on, it's less likely to become distracted. Now, it's not to say you won't become distracted. It just means that you've let go of focus on one of those three things. So you just bring your awareness back to those three things and you embody that moment. This is a very simple practice, and it's very easy to do this at any point throughout your day. Just focus on those three things, take a couple of breaths, and then release. The more you do this, the easier it becomes. The more you do this, the more you start to be in this state without needing to put yourself there.
Good. So who is the most influential person in your life, or one of?
Definitely my partner. When we met, it was one of those very strong feelings of soul relationship beyond any relationship I've ever been. And I've been in quite a few long-term relationships. And it also wasn't easy. We both really invited each other to step into a deeper expression of ourselves in order to be in the relationship. So through my relationship with him, I have had to face some things about myself that I hadn't even seen. And for that, I'm eternally grateful.
So he held a mirror up to you because you weren't able to see it?
Yes.
And how did you respond to that? Did you fight against it? Did you deny it? Or you just automatically received it?
The mirror that he held up to me was that I was rejecting intimate relationship. Mm-hmm. And initially that was quite intriguing to me because I had been in many of them. Mm-hmm. However, I was very conscious when I met him. And so I listened. And when he spoke and when he told this to me, my higher self agreed that it was true. And so my ego got slapped, you know, hard, because I wanted to pretend that I was very connected intimately, and I wasn't. So I was connected enough to my higher self and to my being, to my intuition, to know that he was right. And therefore, I continued to take his, you know, the action, the best of my ability to open up.
So was it fear-based?
Absolutely, yes. Largely from my childhood of sexual trauma and a lot of betrayal from people. As I said, I had a challenging childhood. I just had learned to really protect myself.
And those, the relationships in the families are, you know, still intact or?
Yeah, with my family, it has definitely been through some rough waters. And I'm at a place now, you know, where I really love my family. And I have great compassion for each and every one of them. And we have a good relationship.
Good. And how can people find you? Are you on any predominant social media outlet over the other?
I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And of course, they can always go to my website, alarasage.com.
Do you tend to spend time on any one in particular?
Mainly Instagram, okay. Facebook. Yeah.
Okay. What is your one to grow on? What valuable piece of information would you like to leave our audience with?
I would like people to really hear when I say that we're here for the human experience. There is an availability of a truly fulfilled and ecstatic life. And that takes really coming into that present moment and really honoring your own human experience to come into that life of fulfillment and ecstasy.
Thank you for listening to The New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, The New Mind Creator. This podcast has been sponsored by Abundant Sports and True Serum. Head over to www.mauriceflournoy.com to receive more motivation and insight to help create your new mind.